It is Locked On Jazz for the 17th of January. The streak comes to an end. A showdown between Ingram and Mitchell that was terrific. Officiating leaving much to be desired. And it's a points game Friday. We'll talk about it all coming up on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. 10 straight and the streak is over. The Jazz fall last night to the New Orleans Pelicans in a crazy game. If for some reason you missed the close of it or haven't heard by now, I'm sure you have, but with Brandon Ingram gets his sweet revenge on a jumper on the right side. They actually ran the same play back-to-back times late. Gobert fouled him the first time. The second time, he hits the jumper on the right side and puts them up with 0.2 seconds left. They call a foul on Jackson Hayes. Gobert has a chance to go to the line. He misses one free throw, makes the other. We go to overtime. And then, at least my opinion, is whether or not the foul on Jackson Hayes was the right call, the official, the refs you suck chant was so loud during the timeout between regulation and overtime. The refs called the rest of the game as though they were embarrassed, they were in the situation, and in turn, the Jazz just couldn't buy a whistle. And it was clear human nature or something took over, and the Jazz lose 138-132. The other thing on this game, though, that's interesting, and I don't know if this is just you suddenly look at it this way, but there were so many little things in the game where we didn't do all the things we've done in the past games. You know, we've been winning a lot of close games. At some point, that actually is unusual to win as many as we have. And there were just little plays all night long that we didn't make. Rudy Gobert fouling Brandon Ingram on the play before was not a very good play. Royce O'Neal fouling Brandon Ingram on three free throws was not a very good play. I think he only made one of the three. They got an offensive rebound late in overtime, actually, that we kind of had corralled, and it just kind of got off our hands. Donovan Mitchell makes a really bad play to close the third quarter. Just a few of those that we have been making those plays, and on this given night, either just because eventually you don't make all those plays, we're on the playing our sixth game in the last eight, I think it was, on the road, if that's right. You know, whatever the reason, is that right? Felt that way. Yeah, that's right. You know, for whatever the reason, just maybe a step slower, or they're really good. I mean, they've won 9 of their last 12. I do think they're going to make a playoff run. I think they're going to make the playoffs. That roster is just too good not to. I mean, they're really good. So it just felt throughout the game, in a rare circumstance that the Jazz had been outplayed. We hadn't been outplayed in a while. Defensively, we never got the job done. Our defensive rating by the end of the night was a 124, which is pretty poor. It's the first time we've lost a game with our offensive rating over 107 all season long, in which Rudy Gobert has played. So give them credit. They came back, had a good game plan, definitely were prepared better than they were last time we played them. I think J.J. Redick has great value, at least playing us. I thought that J.J. Redick, not having J.J. Redick was an advantage for them, truthfully, because we could go at J.J. Redick defensively. They were really in us defensively and doing a lot of things that caused us, some pretty big problems and got in on us. So our shot distribution was good. We took 40% of our shots as threes. We did a lot of really good things. We had a great offensive game, which didn't actually have a very good defensive game. Some of that's Brandon Ingram was amazing. Sometimes the other guys are really good too. But on that, Brandon Ingram last night was incredible, and his best plays were passes, largely to Derek Favors. But he was virtually unstoppable. He went bananas in the mid-range last night. He hit, I think, 7 of 10 on long twos. He then got to the rim 5 times, was 5 of 7 at the rim. And had a pretty decent three-point. He's terrific. He's a three-level scorer. He showed the ability to pass. He's in complete control in the dribble. He likes the right side of the floor better than the left. Our game plan was to shade him left. I'm not sure we did a very good job with that. Like, that might be a little example of not being quite as sharp. But they're really good. And that was a heck of a game. Wow, was that a great game. And Donovan was just superb. I mean, the display Donovan put on 18 points in the third quarter. I believe another 13 in the fourth quarter. And then in overtime, he did, 13 in the fourth quarter, 18 in the third quarter, 31 second half points. And in overtime, he goes 2 for 9, missing his last 6 shots. The Jazz go 3 of 14 in overtime. They commit 9 fouls in overtime. Huh? Right. That's my point. So really, you're not going to go win 100 in a row. Jordan Clarkson's going to have to lose a game with the Utah Jazz. Rajon Tucker is not going to have a NBA career where he goes perfect. So you drop a road game to the New Orleans Pelicans. And frankly, if you look at kind of one of the things we do all the time, which is the road to 55, that's, I don't think, a game that we projected to win. You certainly don't go into the New Orleans and think that you're going to win both games there in a season. That's a good basketball team. That's a team that, the playoff team. And if you go get the next one at home and you win 3 of 4 from the Pelicans when you play them whenever they come back out to see us, which is March 13th, and I would get tickets because that is a fun team to watch, then, that's great success. You don't beat those teams 4 or 5. We are still the number one offense in the NBA over the last 15 games by a large margin. The question is kind of back to where we started the year. Can we defend well enough? Over the last 15 games, our defense is 9th, which is great. But let's see. New Orleans offense is pretty good. They torched us. Brandon Ingram had a massive day. That's going to cause us problems. Big guy that can dribble into the mid-range jump shot and hit it is going to cause us problems. And you know what? It causes everybody problems. But the minute we brought Rudy off the rim to deal with this mid-range game, they're bouncing it behind him to favors. So give Brandon Ingram credit. He was just... Donovan Mitchell was otherworldly, and Brandon Ingram was better. How awesome is that to watch? It's a hell of a game. Bench was not great last night. Emmanuel Mudiay had a tough night. I walked out with him. I was like, hey, win a battle, great game, or something like that. Good game. He's like, not so much, actually. I was like, okay, fair enough. George Niang is suddenly, the minivan has got a flat tire. He's 0 for, I think, his last 6 from 3. Teams are scouting him. They did not. George Niang was visibly on the scouting report last night. Visibly on the scouting report. So interesting. And Rajon Tucker's getting these kind of minutes and just, he's not that comfortable out there. But a lot of other stuff was, it's a great game. Faves was super. They're good. They're really good. And Drew Holiday's back. They're probably even better. Again, J.J. Redick is an interesting one for me. They weren't going to get much more out of anybody. They got Alexander Walker, who had 11 shots in 16 minutes, came in just bombing and had 12 points. And I love Etuan Moore. I think Etuan Moore is really, really good. I think Etuan Moore is the Derek Favors of that team in the backcourt. And when they have all their guys, Etuan Moore does not play. And he had 16 points, 7 of 11, 2 of 3 from 3. Etuan Moore is one of my all-time favorites. All right, interesting thought on the NBA offseason, Tony Bradley questions, and why Mike Conley's integration might be a bit easier than everybody is worrying about, or actually more valuable than people are remembering. All coming up here on Locked On Jazz. Plus, we'll do points gained Friday. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. First thing, if you're looking for a car in the market, you decide you need a four-wheel drive after today, and you're going to head down to Hyundai, please send me an email at dlock09@gmail.com. dlock09@gmail.com. And let me know when you're going down, and I'll set up a meeting with you, with the top salesperson, and make sure you kind of have special treatment. Now, why do you want to go to Hyundai? A few reasons. One, the brand gives you the most bang for the buck. They've got fabulous safety features, all really well-made cars, great safety inspections, great safety ratings, and they've got all the bells and whistles you can imagine. The new Palisade is the big 8-seater. I'm driving it right now. It's just luxurious and fabulous. We bought the Santa Fe a few years ago, the Tucson, the Kona. That's the SUV line. The Kona is the small, zippy one, and there's the Elantra and the Sonata. 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. It's Murdoch Hyundai. Email me if you're heading down, and we'll set you up before you go. Here's a thought for you on the offseason. I'm watching and this is coming off Brandon Ingram being, you know, unbelievable last night. But Brandon Ingram's like 20 years old, number two pick of the draft. And Lonzo Ball was 13 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. Ricky Rubio shooting. I mean, I think he's Ricky Rubio. Josh Hart is okay. New Orleans getting Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and Lonzo Ball for Anthony Davis. Like, it's... Anthony Davis is great. So Anthony Davis is better. And that's a win for the Lakers. But it's not, like, crazy. Right? Like, Brandon... Let's see what happens with Brandon Ingram, right? If Brandon Ingram becomes that player we watched last night, which he might be becoming, frankly, then forget about it. Like, then we're on a different... Then we're in a different discussion. But, I mean, he's gone 35, 29, 28 in four of his last six games. 35, 29, 28, 49 in four of his last five games, excuse me. Like, he had the 40-point game against Brooklyn about the seventh game of the year. I was talking to David Wesley before the game and said he wasn't that comfortable. And you see he's in the 20s, and all of a sudden, like mid-December, he starts going 30. You take Brandon Ingram since December 9th in his last 18 games, he's averaging 27 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. Shooting 47% from the field, 40% from three, and 88% from the line, taking 7 free throws. Like, he's not that far off Anthony Davis. Defensively, he's not Anthony Davis, but he's potent offensively in the sense that he's 6'8" and can play with the ball in his hands. Like, that's a crazy number I just threw out there. Last 18 games, he is averaging 27, 7, and 5. So, like, Anthony Davis for Brandon Ingram, plus you get Lonzo Ball and you get Josh Hart. Like, that's not a crazy trade. And they get 3 first-round draft picks. Now, let's see what happens with the 3 first-round draft picks, because I think those are maybe going to be overrated to some extent. We'll see. And they ended up, one of those was the 4th pick of the draft, which I guess they probably, I'd have to go back and look at how they parlayed it. They probably parlayed into Jackson Hayes at some point, and Jackson Hayes is terrific. Just player trade, Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook is completely one-sided right now to Oklahoma City, and they got a million draft picks. Like, it's hard for me to really sit here and claim that Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Josh Hart for Anthony Davis is a win for New Orleans just on players. But I think that it's a discussion, at least. And then you add the draft picks. Russell Westbrook gets traded to Chris Paul. Chris Paul's just better than Russell Westbrook right now. Like, Chris Paul's older, and so for the course of the deal, we'll see. But Russell Westbrook could really, really fade badly physically as well. Plus, first rounders in 2024, 2026, and a swaps in 2021 and 2025. Even without the picks, it's a win for Oklahoma City. And I'm not entirely sure that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari aren't better. I wouldn't rather have them than having Paul George. It's crazy. The three biggest trades, which all, and they all may work, right? Houston might make a run. The Lakers or Clippers might be NBA title. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in his second year in the NBA is averaging 20.6 rebounds and 3 assists. Like, don't kid yourself what's going on there. That's incredible. He's 21 years old, 6'5", 181, and he has gone bananas. Do the same thing I just did with him. Look at him since December 6th again, and you take his last 20 games. He's averaging 22.6 rebounds and 3 assists. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 51% shooting, 37 from 3, 85% from the field. Like, he's a bona fide star. Brandon Ingram's a bona fide star. So it's really interesting how these trades have all played out. All right, Tony Bradley. Gobert fouls out on a phantom foul that they're not going to overturn. They just weren't going to overturn it. Like, they just, it was bad. They just weren't going to overturn it. They should have. And Tony Bradley, we kind of fall apart. I really don't know, honestly, on Tony Bradley right now. What I do know is that the Scott Brooks, after the Washington game, literally said, we lost the game because we didn't attack Tony Bradley enough. Like, Tony Bradley is coming in the game, and people are just going at him every single time. And I'm not entirely sure this is fair for Tony Bradley. It's just that Rudy Gobert is so great. Tony's not great at it, certainly. But I'm not sure that other backup centers are going to be actually that much better. I mean, if you can go get, I don't know, like, who's the best backup center in the NBA right now? Derek Favors is now a starter, so I don't know who the best backup center. I mean, Aaron Baines played great for Phoenix. He's still starting. So DeAndre Ayton, he's not really a backup. I don't know if he'd actually help us. You know, I'm not sure he knows how to win yet. So I think when you, I just don't know on Tony. Like, I think the reaction of, oh my gosh, that proves that we have to go get a backup, real backup center. That seems to be an overstatement to me. But legitimate, like, thought. I get it. I think, and, you know, Tony Gobert fouls out. We're up 132-130, and we, you know, it goes the other way the rest of the way. We lose 138-132. It's an 8-0 run from the final time period. It was 130. Yeah, 132-130. And actually, that's not even fair because Ingram makes the free throw, so it's 132-131. But nonetheless, and they went right at him. I mean, they just attack, and they attack him when he's out there. He's not able to get up vertically. He does hold his position well. I thought he actually did some things pretty well in the first half. So I'm not sure I think this is fair on Tony Bradley, and I'm not sure. You know, they do this to Ed Davis, too. We haven't seen it before because we had the best backup center in the NBA. We had a guy who's top 15 starter playing backup center. Like, that was a unique circumstance. We're not going to be able to replicate that. So I think some of the Tony Bradley conversations unfair to Tony Bradley. And I would guess that if you ran around the NBA and you grabbed the NBA standings and you went team by team, you couldn't name the backup center on most teams. Right? So Milwaukee, it's Robin Lopez, Miami. I mean, these are the good teams, right? None of the good teams are trading as their backup center. So drop out of that and go get, like, Chicago's backup center is a kid that's out of Arkansas as a second-round pick. Detroit, I don't know who their backup center is. Charlotte's backup center is Bismack Biyombo's terrible. Washington's backup center is actually pretty well. He really should be their starting center. Out of Indiana, Thomas Bryant is Yamahim. He's got the terrible contract we don't want. I don't know who Cleveland's backup center is. I don't know who New York's is. Bobby Portis, maybe. And Atlanta's is Alex Len. Okay, great. Like, you know, the Grizzlies aren't trading us. Their backup center is Brandon Clark, who's a rookie. The Blazers don't have a backup center. Phoenix's backup center is Aaron Baines, I guess. Pelicans' backup center is Jackson Hayes. They're not trading him. Minnesota's backup center is Gorgui Dieng. You don't want that contract. Sacramento's backup center is Dwayne Dedmon. You don't want that. And the Warriors don't have one. So I hear this conversation about Tony Bradley. I'll tell you what, Ed Davis is probably your next choice. I mean, I guess in some miracle world, you can go get Aaron Baines from Phoenix. Heck, the front office pulled off one miracle already. I don't know how you do another one. And I don't even know whether or not we have the pieces that you could put together to be able to put an Aaron Baines deal together, but that's like the one legitimate backup center. So it's great to say, like, Tony Bradley, backup centers don't exist in the NBA anymore. And I'm just not convinced that what the issue is, that the issue is Tony Bradley, more that the issue is just when Tony Bradley comes in the game, teams just go at him at an incredible rate. Aaron Baines makes $5.4 million. He's 32 years old. He is an unrestricted free agent in the offseason. I don't know the pieces you put together for that. But if there's something we can do, I'm sure our front office has shown an incredible knack for doing that. Why Mike Conley's return might be better than everyone's talking about and concerned about for you in just a second. There is a new fitness bike out there. It's called Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com. Echelon is spelled Echelon.com. And it's an at-home cycling experience. It's half the price of Peloton, the one that is the leader in the business. Echelon makes a beautifully engineered products for everyone. Busy moms, dad, first responders, elite athletes, whatever your activity level. With daily, live, and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. So, and Echelon has it, if you're not satisfied, 100% satisfied, you get your money back. Hundreds of thousands of men and women are getting fit with Echelon. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about the limited time offer. It excludes a free Apple iPad. Complete details to this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. Here's a little note for you. I was playing with lineup data today. We don't have, there's not a lot, like, because we, if you play lineup data and you get rid of Jeff Green and Dante Exum, we only have five lineups that actually have played over 50 minutes. We only have 11 lineups that have played over 20 minutes. Of the 11 lineups that have played over 20 minutes, here are the three that are considerably negative. In 43 minutes, Emmanuel Mudiay, Jordan Clarkson, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert is minus 20, can't score. Has struggled scoring. In a lineup that's only played five games, 20 minutes, a little bit for each game, Donovan Mitchell, Rajon Tucker, Jordan Clarkson, George Niang, Tony Bradley, minus 21. Minus 7, Manuel Mudiay, Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert. Okay, so while we're in this win streak, we've had three lineups that are considerably negative out there. None of those lineups, once Mike Conley returns, will play. Like, I don't think that's... I mean, there might be variations on those, but actually, those are specific lineups that in some way, shape, or form will be impacted. Now, frankly, the problem is that, you know, right now we're playing a lot of Bojan Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, Donovan Mitchell, and that is going to be impacted as well. So I'm not sitting here naively telling you that the only lineup that's going to be impacted is going to be the negative ones, but there is something to that. And this is the other one. When Mike Conley was on the floor with Donovan Mitchell, Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, and Rudy Gobert, so no Joe Ingles, we're plus 16. When Mike Conley was on the floor with Mike Conley, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Rudy Gobert, so no Donovan Mitchell, we're plus 11. When Mike Conley was on the floor with our dream lineup, the one that, like, I can't stop talking about, that I'm so excited about, we're even, minus 0.9. Conley, Mitchell, Ingles, Bogdanovic, and Gobert, ironically, didn't rebound well. Actually, didn't rebound that badly, but didn't rebound well. So, of the lineups that Mike Conley has played this year, the three lineups that Mike Conley's played for over 20 minutes that don't include Dante Exum and don't include Jeff Green, he's plus 16, plus 11, and even. And the three lineups that are negative are the lineups that will go away when Mike Conley starts playing. I think I got it. We won 10 straight. We've been brilliant. He hasn't been out there. It feels, I got it. I think we'll be okay. All right, here's some points gained quickly to wrap this up. James Harden is still best in the league at 4.1, though he has dipped. Karl-Anthony Towns, if he ever plays again, is second at 3.9. Devin Booker third best offensive player in the league at 2.8. Adetokounmpo, 2.7. Points gained, by the way, is the points you gain more than what an average player would do with the same scoring opportunity. So Giannis Adetokounmpo scores 2.7 points more than what an average or collection of average players would do with his possessions. You'll find out why Memphis is winning here in a second. Harden, 4.1. Towns, 3.9. Where actually, it's interesting. If you've done this with me for a while, we usually have three players above three and about 10 players above two. We have hit that mark. So we actually now have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 players above two, and one of them's only played 20 games. So here you go. Harden, Towns, Booker, Adetokounmpo, Rudy Gobert, 2.6. Rashawn Holmes, who's now injured in Sacramento, 2.5. And here's why Memphis is winning. Brandon Clark, 2.2. Jonas Valanciunas, 2.2. Mitchell Robinson, 2.1 for the Knicks. Mo Wagner, 2.1 for the Wizards. Anthony Davis, 2.1 for the Lakers. It begs the question. I'll answer it in a second. J.J. Redick, 2.1 for New Orleans. And Dame Lillard, 2.1. If you're wondering, Brandon Ingram is 1.9. Luka Doncic is 1.9. Duncan Robinson is sliding a little bit. He's down to 1.8. DeMar DeRozan is 1.8 positive. For all the talk of no three-point shots, and he's only made 8 three-pointers all year, he's actually positive. Chris Middleton, who doesn't take enough threes, is also 1.5. Like, if you're good at this, you're fine. Taking a look at the most inefficient offensive players, it's always the rookies. Jordan Poole holds that title at minus 2.9 for the Warriors. RJ Barrett, minus 2.6. Cam Reddish, minus 2.5. Russell Westbrook, minus 2.4. Jarrett Culver, minus 2.3. Karis LeVert, minus 2.3. Theo Pinson, who's not playing. Dennis Smith, who's hardly playing. Eric Gordon, minus 2.1. Alfred Payton, minus 2.1. Mike Conley hasn't played much, minus 1.9. All those other numbers with Mike Conley not playing well. Dwayne Bacon, minus 1.9. Kobe White, minus 1.8. Al Farouk Aminu, minus 1.8. Drew Holiday, minus 1.7. Kristaps, minus 1.7, interestingly enough. Are the Utah Jazz all above positive now? Which leads you to the number one offense in the NBA. That's when I think it's valid, and the answer is generally yes. Donovan Mitchell is now 0.1. Emmanuel Mudiay is 0.1 positive. And the only player that is negative is Michael Conley. The Rudy Gobert, 2.6. Bojan, 1.5. Joe, 0.9. Royce, 0.7. Tony Bradley, 0.5. George Niang, 0.5. Clarkson, 0.4. Donovan, 0.1, but eating all the possessions. And Emmanuel Mudiay, negative 0.1. That's beautiful. That's how you become a very, very good basketball team. Who are the hottest players in the NBA? DeMar DeRozan's the hottest player in the league right now at 5.5 over the last 10 games. Followed by Valanciunas, 4.2. Devin Booker, 4.1. Nikola Jokic, 3.2. Giannis, 2.9. Dwight Powell. Michael Porter Jr., 2.8. Mitchell Robinson. J.J. Redick. Jaren Jackson in Memphis. Bam Adebayo at 2.4. Ja Morant, 2.4. Is he incredible? Maxi Kleber, Danilo Gallinari, Trey Young at 2.3. Dame Lillard, Derek Favors, Jackson Hayes. That's why New Orleans is going to start winning. They have two of those. Rudy's at 2.0. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, we talked about, at 2.1. Kelly Oubre at 2.1. And Clint Capella as well. Joe Ingles is at 1.9. Hard for Joe. He's got to shoot out of his mind because he is... only takes 5% of his possession at the free throw. The other guy is playing just as well as Joe Ingles right now is Nima Bjelica in Sacramento. Coldest players in the NBA right now. Russell Westbrook, minus 3.4. Kai Bowman, minus 3.2. Spencer Dinwiddie, minus 3.2. Isaiah Thomas in Washington, minus 3.1. Wesley Matthews in Milwaukee. Kent Bazemore in Portland, Elfrid Payton, Draymond Green, minus 2.5, Cam Reddish, Markel Fultz for all the good talk, minus 2.3, had the triple-double, got everybody excited. Dwayne Dotson in New York, minus 2.2, Andre Drummond, minus 2.1, Malik Monk, minus 2.1, Jacob Evans, Mike Scott, Vince Carter, Al Horford, Trey Lyles, Jalen Brunson, Hollis Jefferson, Kevin Knox, and that takes us through. No Utah Jazz float in here. Jazz players over the last 10 games, we're flying through this. Thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate it. A lot of numbers. You have no idea what's going on. Rudy Gobert, 2.0. Joe Ingles, 1.9. Donovan, 1.5. Wow, that's the best Donovan's been for a stretch. 48% from the field, 40% from three. Not a lot of free throw attempts. Boyan, 1.4. Royce, 1.2. George, 0.9. Tony Bradley, 0.6. Jordan Clarkson, 0.4. And Emmanuel Mudiay's even. That's how you become the number one offense in the NBA right there. That is Locked On Jazz. Friday edition of Locked On NBA was hosted by Nick and Isaac today. They are doing a really good job. That's our Locked On Mavericks team. If you haven't heard Nick before, I think you'll really like him. So you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NBA. Nate Duncan, the NBA host of Hollinger and Dunk, as well as Dunked On, is who Noah and Adam went ISO with. So you can go tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen.